President Trump says that Israel has accepted a proposed 60-day Gaza ceasefire. He's hoping Hamas will follow suit. Paramount has agreed to pay $16 million to settle a lawsuit filed by Mr. Trump over the editing of CBS's 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris in October. On Wall Street, the Dow down 54 points, NASDAQ up 128. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University announces all online degree programs. Yes, you can earn your AA through PhD degree all online. Study at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. And let me make a brief correction. We used the wrong clip. It is the Redemption Trio that will be singing for us on this Sunday. We look forward to having you with us. The Redemption Call Trio will be with us. They'll be singing the old gospel songs as well as some patriotic hymns, and we're looking forward to that. We'll have a message from the pulpit. We'll have the Redemption Call Trio in concert. Immediately following that, we'll have a lunch together, a barbecue lunch that will be provided with a donation expected, a small donation for that wonderful meal, and time of fellowship. That starts at 10 o'clock, this Sunday morning. Looking forward to having you with us. You're openly invited. Come and join us. Love to meet you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we're talking about America at the crossroads. I believe Davis is on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I want to thank God, even with our rebellion and the sin that we have done for the last 250 years, of the blessings that he has bestowed upon the United States of America. But you say we're at a crossroad. I think we have already gone through the intersection, because even you have made mention that we're not even mentioned in the climax of what's going to happen.
That's right.
During the last days of the tribulation. All that. I don't think we're going to be here. But the United States, I'm praying that God's people, somewhere after we've gone through this intersection, we will find a U-turn and get back. And that's going to come about whenever God's people get on their knees, like we said many times, 2 Corinthians 7:14. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, I mean, our good days are over with as a nation.
Brother, you're exactly right. Here's just a little tip of the iceberg that I'm seeing that I'm concerned about, and overly so. You're exactly right. I believe we've gone through the intersection, and I like that term, that we need to find a U-turn and get back to the basics. But listen, when we've had about 70 million murders in America in the mother's womb since Roe versus Wade in 1973, then that Roe versus Wade has been overturned after 50 years. We're finding a major clamor on the part of the Democratic Party to continue with the murder of the child in the mother's womb. And I am saddened to see that even with those that we have in the Beltway in Washington, and the Senate in particular, where they insisted on, if they passed the big beautiful bill, they insisted on having it so that we would continue to use federal tax dollars to pay to continue to murder human beings in the mother's womb. It's to carry that on. We still have the moral, ethical decline highly visible today with the woke culture and its focus on transgenderism, the LGBTQ agenda, with the approach to steal the hearts and the lives of our children today, to sexualize them and to weaponize them. Now, Brother Davis, I don't really see a U-turn with that. I'm thankful to see President Trump's publicly saying we have only two genders, not several hundred genders. I'm thankful to have a president that said we're not going to have males and female sports, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still taking place, even with the executive orders, even with the statement, even with what we're saying and doing under the Trump administration, we're still witnessing a major deterioration from within of the morals, ethics, and the values of our nation. And that's part and parcel because we have, listen, I want you to respond to this. What, in your opinion, causes so many, overwhelming majority of Christians and conservatives to be silent and not stand up and speak up? Why, in your opinion, do we have silence in our pulpits? I believe what we're seeing today with the divisiveness and with the danger and with America being at the crossroads of utter destruction is partially, if not totally, as a result of the silence in the pulpits. What say you?
I say this. My pastor, 90 years ago, told us that we were only two generations away from being atheist. And I think that's been 90 years ago. I think we must be somewhere where he predicted this was going to happen. And it's because the church has not been doing what she should do, what God is. You know, Israel was supposed to be the nation to show people God. The church was responsible for showing. Whenever Paul said, lo, he turned to the Gentiles, you know, that was our responsibility as a church. And Jesus established that church so that we would be a light. That's what we're supposed to, but that light has been put under a bushel. And I tell you, I'm just fearful for the 4th of July when it comes up with all the fireworks. My heart just goes out. What's going to happen in the United States when all these multitudes get together for fireworks? Lord help us.
Yes, Harper, if I could, Brother Davis, if I could say this as a footnote to what you just said, I believe in the next week, including the fourth weekend, I believe the most dangerous place that a human being in America could be in is in the mass groups that will gather as far as open-air parties, picnics, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that's the most dangerous position that a human being could be in America.
I agree. I told my children, stay away from there. Stay home.
Absolutely. That's my position totally. I can't meddle in everybody else's business, but I find it needful and necessary and incumbent on me to stay inside, stay at home, be alert, be aware, be prepared. And as I tell people, I believe in God and Glock and in that order, and I'm prepared to believe in God and Glock in the carrying out of my safety for me and my family. So
listen, Wes.
I bless Smith & Wesson. Well, the one I like best is the Glock, but I have all the others, and I am thankful. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and God bless you for being among the few that has the courage to be speaking up and to be proclaiming the gospel and teaching the word of God without compromising. Oh, praise God. We really thank God for the few who have the courage in these days. And as you have been saying, that we are the nation reach. I always think that the great burden lies at the feet, the church. The church failing it, the pastors failing to speak up, the church failing to stand up in these days and allow the, as you said, God intended us to be salt and light. And if we don't play our part, then the nation is plunging into decadence and deteriorating worse and worse. I just have a short observation of the younger. I am thinking that when, at the beginning of the age, when humanity rebelled against God's word, God could have turned his back on humanity, but he didn't do that. He pledged himself to raise up a remnant.
Yes.
It is a godly heritage that would adorn his eternal kingdom. And since that time, he has been working on just that. You know, the whosoever will, bless the Lord, he has been patiently waiting and raising up those who will be part of his eternal kingdom, the godly heritage, the remnant. And the first move he made, really, with humanity rebelling against him, he tried the flood in Noah's day, and after that, humanity plunged right back into iniquity and rebellion against God. Then he looked and he found Abraham. And he made the covenant with Abraham. And the interesting thing about it is what God had in mind when he saw Abraham and his wife, an elderly couple, elderly childless couple. And he made the covenant, and that covenant became, he made it a unilateral covenant. Because although God spoke, Abraham's part of the covenant was to teach his children to fear him and to be faithful to him, and he would be faithful to them as their God. But God knew that Abraham's children would fail. Right away, even Abraham himself, although he had him as a man of failed, when he didn't have enough patience to wait on God's timing, eventually he ended up with Ishmael, which was a blunder on his part, but praise God, God is showing us the God he is merciful to us, Adam's fallen children. How merciful. Abraham is still down in the Bible as a man of faith. We are children. As believers, we are children of Abraham. He's the father of the faith. So praise God. But the interesting thing to me is that when he made that covenant with Abraham, he was thinking about redemption, praise God. His main thing was redemption, the sending of the Messiah to bring about our salvation. And the interesting thing is how he did it, because God looked down through the ages. We know there's no lack of knowledge with him. He realized what things would become. And
yes.
So he told, promised Abraham that son, and then Abraham's children. And his plan was down through the ages, he would be able to find a godly couple, young couple, ready to start their family. And he would confirm his love for the family. or and, we know that he gave us
and,
the first
and,
coming.
And Lily, for That's the right. Lily, for yes. the sake of time, let me jump in and do a little footnote to that. That parenthetical footnote is, God has always been seeking one man, one woman, one boy, one girl that's willing to surrender their lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him to use them. God has given us America that we might bless God, praise him, and study his word and serve him. And if we've turned away from that, then God can no longer bless America. And that's the very point that I want us to understand today. When we look at what is happening in our schools with LGBTQ+, with the CRT, with the sexualization and the weaponization of our kids, with what we're seeing today where there's a battle against good and evil, where good is called evil, evil is called good, how can God bless our nation? How can we continue to progress into the 250th birthday if that's what we see taking place now? So, Lil, it deserves our prayer, our constant vigilance, and our stand for truth, and continue to be the witness, the light, and the salt he'd have us to be. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I have two scriptures, Jeremiah 12:11, and also 2 Kings 6:17. And it keeps coming to me that that's how the world is today. Will you expound on that, that it could be applied to today? Because
read, if you have your Bible open to those two verses, read them for us.
Okay, I'm in the car and I don't have my Bible.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sorry, but I do know, like with Jeremiah, I can pull it up real quick.
Don't do that if you're driving. Just tell us the summary of what your thoughts are and let me respond to it for the benefit of time.
Okay, with the footmen, I'm paraphrasing that the footmen, if you get weary with the footman, then the horses were coming. And then with 2 Kings was when Elisha's eyes were open, when Elijah prayed for his eyes to be open and the chariots of fire. I believe that this is a time that we is already a heavenly battle going on out there.
Yes, and what you're looking at in those texts are very, very real and relevant because what God had shown for Elijah when he saw that those chariots of fire, he's seeing the safety and the protection that God has provided around the city, even when we do not see it. God is going to provide his safety and protection for us. But I believe there comes a time when man as a nation, when a nation can say no to God, no to God, no to God enough, that God turns his back and says, I'm going to pick another vessel to carry my word. And I'm fearful, Brother Davis earlier when he called, spoke almost the same thing. I'm very, very concerned that we've reached that point of there may not be a returning point, may not be a U-turn, as he called it, where we can get back to where we need to be. As I think on what is happening, I'm looking at a headline, faith groups provide tools for parents to opt out of LGBTQ curriculum after SCOTUS, that is the Supreme Court of the United States of America, ruled. And issues the warning, public schools can be expected to try to limit the Supreme Court's holding and will find new ways to assert its power to indoctrinate our children. Even if the Supreme Court, Terry, even if the Supreme Court has said that the schools cannot indoctrinate with the sexualization and the raw porn material in the classroom, that they cannot do that, the parent has an option to opt out. And even with that Supreme Court opinion being made, then the Supreme Court says that they suspect that the schools will still try to circumvent that and still try to carry out their plan of indoctrination of our kids. That is a purposeful, open, spitting in the face of God and denying God's word, God's plan for our nation. God created us as a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We were created as a Christian nation to praise God, to honor God, and to serve God. And I believe that the time that we cross that line, cross that intersection, go across the crossroads, it becomes too late at some point in time to turn around and turn back. So, Terry, it demands our prayer, our constant vigilance, and our stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that as conservatives, Christians, and patriots, we continue to honor God and to serve Him. But, Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about America at the crossroads. Do you believe America has reached the no turning point? Are we at the crossroads? If we are, and I believe we are at some point, have we made the wrong direction? You know, you get to an intersection and you say, you can't say any, meeny, miny, mo, which way do I go? You look at the intersection, decide which is the route that you need to take to get to the destination you want to reach. And I believe we have reached that point where there is a, without any question, a determination that must be reached in America, which direction we really want to go. Ladies and gentlemen, today Christians are subjected to never-ceasing attacks on our religion, our religious beliefs, our stand, and where we are as a people. I believe that we're looking at that happening more and more. Looking at headlines says, Supreme Court's LGBTQ precedents already taking a toll on other rulings. This is dated June 30th, just a few days. It's only been days old, but the Supreme Court ruling that that Tennessee is allowed to ban body mutilation, chemical treatments, and surgeries on children already is having an impact. Just last week, the High Court affirmed a state law that bans the infliction of transgender procedures on minors. In the 6-3 ruling, it revealed a pointedly leftist trio on the court demanding the agenda of chemically and surgically altering children be accommodated what almost always is a temporary gender dysphoria. The ruling found that Tennessee law does not violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. It was in orders issued on Monday that the court wiped out lower court ruling that essentially promoted the transgender ideologies, the scientific impossibility that men can become women or vice versa, as being male or female is embedded down in the DNA level and does not change. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, even with that ruling, the Supreme Court says, based on a Tennessee law, and this will affect 15-20 other states at least, where they also have the similar type ruling laws. The law is in Tennessee that it's against the law to allow a counselor at school, a teacher at school, or a medical professional to recommend and or go through the process of having a child butchered with healthy body parts chopped off, and the transgenderism mode that's been carried out the past several years, promulgated, pushed, and paid for by the Biden administration. Court ruled that that is unconstitutional, but ladies and gentlemen, we're at that point where Christians are subjected to the never-ceasing attacks on our religious liberties and freedom of speech, and in our schools will not allow parents to opt out of the pornographic material in our curriculum. Christian bakers, Christian photographers, and wedding planners, etc., are all now persecuted and prosecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. How can we go to that level? How can we continue to move beyond that level in the leftist mindset? In fact, with this ruling, 6-3 on the Supreme Court, the three witches, I said it with a W, the three witches on the Supreme Court, all took aim at this ruling, 6-3, claiming that it is the right of the practitioner, it's the right of the school counselor, it's the right of the doctors to simply say that we can chop off healthy body parts, when it was very, very clear that even the Supreme Court ruled that the gender dysphoria is temporary, but what is happening with the surgeries and the butchering of the body parts, taking them off, ladies and gentlemen, is permanent. It sterilizes, paralyzes, in some cases destroys the life where that child, that individual, is forever dependent on Big Pharma to continue to survive in any modicum of life and living as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is happening today and the mindset that is taking place today that is destroying what we call a Christian nation. I'm looking at a major article, multiple pages, written by a Christian attorney. It says, when I think of America, I think of a land birthed in liberty. Liberty not only to speak and assemble, but liberty to worship the Lord without fear of government interference. Our founding fathers were not perfect men, but they understood a perfect truth that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Chief among these is the right to worship freely. And the article continues, we see government officials who treat churches unequally. We see Christians told to remove scripture verses from their workspaces. We see students being barred from bringing their Bibles to school. We see ministries targeted for holding the Bible, holding to biblical truths. This is not the America of our founding fathers and the America that our founding fathers envisioned for the future of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. America at the crossroads. Which direction are we headed? Which turn have we taken? Have we turned to the left or to the right? Will we at some point in time hopefully recognize the dangers and the peril that is before us and turn back? Listen, I'm looking at an article. It says, too many Bible verses. Brave ninth grader prevails against the school that tore down Christian posters at the school. Her group was initially called the Good News Club and sought to meet after school for faith-based decisions, discussions, encouragement, and learning. But when she posted a campus-wide flyer listing and encouraging Bible verses and inviting students to join, the school took them down and told her the club's name had to be changed. Officials at the school district in New York have retreated in their campaign to tear down the posters put up by a Christian student's club, letting others know about meetings and events. The district has now walked back its actions, and a written response to the school district has confirmed that Gina's club, that's the name of the little girl, can change the club's name to whatever it wants. The school has no objection to the poster citing Bible verses or containing a cross that has the same, the student has the same rights as any other student to share her faith on campus. Quote, schools may not censor religious viewpoints while allowing secular students groups full freedom. In fact, federal law is clear that once a school opens a limited public forum for the students' expression, such as clubs, it must treat all clubs, Christian clubs, Bible clubs, etc., equally, regardless of their religious content. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, have we reached the point of no turning back? Is there a point in that crossing the intersection? As one caller put it, I thought was right unique of finding a U-turn and getting back to the point and place that we need to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we say thank you, God, for giving us America. Thank you for giving us the Declaration of Independence. Thank you for our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But ladies and gentlemen, the only way I believe that America can survive is if we turn back to God. I'm looking at a headline, the left's new anti-Christian smear backfires, exposing its deepest fear. The left's new favorite boogeyman, so-called Christian nationalism, is back in the headlines, but don't be fooled by the narrative. The real story isn't about Christian extremism, but about an obsession with terrified faithful Christians that are causing terror among the left. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for God's guidance and direction. We need to pray that pastors in our pulpits will stand for truth without fear and without favor. We need to pray that God will redeem America, protect us, provide us, provide for us that we might see our 250th birthday that's rapidly approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida.